Every year, we interrupt our normal study in our adult Sunday school class, the class for which these lessons are initially prepared, and we have a special class for Christmas. On that Sunday, the highlight is not the lesson I bring, but Linda's sweetbreads that she has baked, and everyone enjoys very much. But I also prepare a Christmas devotional, and that's what is offered in this audio recording for this Christmas in 2015. In the four stanzas of the venerable hymn, though it is fairly young compared to others, it was written in 1930. O Son of God Incarnate by Wilbur Fisk Tillett speaks to four aspects of the incarnate Christ. He is divine. He is God. He is God. He is the mind of God. He is the heart of God. And he is the will of God. So first we look at his divinity in the first stanza of this hymn. O Son of God Incarnate, O Son of Man Divine, in whom God's glory dwelleth, in whom man's virtues shine. God's light to earth thou bringest, to drive sin's night away, and through thy life so radiant, earth's darkness turns to day. This is how Christ came to us. Take all of God and the very best of man, what little there is of it, and that is Jesus. The fleshly part of the incarnate Son is what man was supposed to be. Indeed, he was during that short span before the fall. Wholly good, a life centered on God his Father. But Adam ultimately sinned. Jesus never has, because only he is also holy God. In this singular form, the Son of God brought to earth the fullness of Father God. His heart, his mind, his love, his light. The Apostle John in his Gospel writes in chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The second stanza speaks of his mind. O mind of God incarnate, O thought in flesh enshrined, in human form thou speakest to men the Father's mind. God's thought to earth thou bringest, that men in thee may see what God is like, and seeing, think God's thoughts after thee. Christ Jesus had many names and titles, synonyms meant to help mere men apprehend his supernatural fullness. One of these, Logos, translated Word, is used by the Apostle John to express, among other things, that Christ embodied not just the speaking God, but the reasoning God. Look at John 1, the first two verses of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Here is one of the ways Jesus personalized God for man, and not as an unapproachable, unattainable representative figure, but as a living, breathing conduit from God to man. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, and Christ has the mind of God. Jesus, God incarnate, brought to earth the very mind of God. And those who place their trust in him as Savior receive the permanent, indwelling Spirit, that inseverable umbilical connecting believers to the reasoning mind of their Heavenly Father. Here's the third stanza of the hymn. O heart of God incarnate, love-bearer to mankind, from thee we learn what love is, in thee love's ways we find. God's love to earth thou bringest, in living deeds that prove how sweet to serve all others, when we all others love. Christ Jesus is the heart of God. 1 John 4, verses 14 to 16 read, We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Those who manufacture love from the clay of earth have no idea what true love really is. God does not just demonstrate love. He is love. God's love is not some fragile flower child, warm, cozies, feel-good, wispy emotion. His love pulses with the clarity and raw energy of his eternal heart. True, supernatural love is what sent his own Son to die for the sins of man. And the one who died and then rose from death transferred that same love to those who believe in him. Here's what the Apostle John has to say about it in his first epistle. And remember, the Apostle John was known as the Apostle of Love. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. Finally, in the last stanza of our hymn, Christ is God's will. O will of God incarnate, so human, so divine, free wills to us thou givest, that we may make them thine. God's will to earth thou bringest, that all who would obey may learn from thee their duty, the truth, the life, the way. How did Jesus teach us to pray in Matthew 6? He said, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus Christ, Son of God, brought down to earth at least one more thing from the Father. Christ was God's will personified. It was God's will that man would be offered salvation from their sin. It was God's will that his own Son would be the bringer of that grace. It was God's will that his own Son would pay the ultimate penalty of his life to obtain man's salvation. And it was God's will that that salvation would make it possible for man's will to at last be lost in his. Though far from an exhaustive list, here are four very personal aspects of the incarnate Christ. First, he is divine. He is God. Even as he comes in human flesh, he stands outside of time and creation, being creator of both. Second, he is the mind of God, the essential part of every human being. That which defines each of us as a unique person is not our flesh, but our mind. Jesus is not just unique among men. He is the Word, the very mind of Father God. Third, he is the heart of God. There is no love deeper than the love God has for man, and Christ Jesus is the physical representation of that love. He is God's love. And finally, Christ is the will of God. The Lord God's will for man was accomplished in and through the incarnate Son. In Leviticus 17, God said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Leviticus 17:11. The Son's blood had to be shed for our atonement. That was the will of his Father. All of this and more we celebrate as we kneel in worship before the manger of Bethlehem.